The Station of the Stars. RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad, boys and girls. Your weekly sideways look at the news with a big difference this week because I'm outvoted 2-1. I'll explain in a moment. My name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, covered in white stuff again, I'm pleased to report. I love driving to work and seeing that. We've had a week from hell, but we're here for you because we love you so much. Over in the UK and the... it's going to be confusing. There's two of them in the UK this week. Somebody's let Mark back in. First of all, it's Lee Banks on a less than perfect internet connection.
Nothing in my life is less than perfect. I mean, everything in my life is less than perfect.
And probably going out for a pie and a pint and chips later on, the man has returned from France to the UK, none other than Mark Gander.
Yes, hello there. The return of the
You're
wanderer.
Right, Mark, back in the UK. I'm very well, thank you, Lee. Hi.
And tired out. And very tired.
Oh.
Yeah, bless. He's been travelling.
I'm tired too, Mark. We're over in Britain and we're just old and tired like the rest of Britain is.
I visited Durham this morning. It's the first time I've ever been and it was great. And the people are so friendly and charming and it's such a relief. Thank goodness to be back in England.
Where's Durham?
Yeah, we're... I was going to do a New Seekers joke, but that would make me sound terribly old. Although it has to be said...
I know what you were going to do, because I wanted to do it.
Oh, dear. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, and, of course, you wonderful people on RTI and Audio Boo. Love to have you with us. We're going to kick off this week with... quite a contentious story, it has to be said. But first of all, I would like to say we here commemorated the 11th of the 11th of the 11th yesterday. All computers were turned off, phones were turned off, the whole thing. And we did respect that particular day for all of the fallen servicemen around the world. And just some, I don't know, a little thing that we thought was a good thing to do. And then I read the newspapers. Unbelievable. I words fail me. And I don't know if you guys have seen that. I mean, Lee's over in the UK. Poor old Mark's been travelling.
I know what you're talking about. I was just...
I've been travelling. I've been out of contact.
One of the headlines in a UK newspaper was a gentleman who burned the poppy, the symbol of 11-11-11. I can't believe that... it was even allowed.
Well, it wasn't exactly allowed, was it, Eric? You know, it was a group of Muslims in Birmingham. I spent 20 years of my life in Birmingham, and I respect the Muslim community over there and everything. I actually respect everybody in the world, apart from certain people. Mm-hmm. But this happened out of the blue. Nobody was expecting it. And it was despicable. But then you've got to remember, the one thing that we always forget, because we're very, very well protected by the forces here, that this is a war. We are at war, and this is war on the streets. Mm. Well, that was shameful. What they did was shameful.
Would that be allowed in France, Mark?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they don't have Poppy Day. I mean, they do have a holiday on the 11th, and also on VE Day, Victory Over Europe Day, they have holidays. I'm not sure if the rest of the people involved in the war have holidays. I don't know whether they'd be allowed to burn poppies, but they don't have them. But what I was interested was to see on UK television the other day that another way of expressing, if you like, this sort of same idea, sort of celebrating peace, rather than having red poppies, I saw some people carrying white poppies. Mm. And in a way, it wasn't a bad thing, but I have to say that I think burning red poppies or any colour poppy, I think it's tremendously shameful.
I do. Go on, Lee.
The red of the poppies represents the blood of our men, though, doesn't it? And sadly, the white did represent, when a lot of these people were killed, represented the absolute opposite of what they were doing. Yes. So I'm not sure that white poppies is a good idea. I've seen it myself, and I know what you say. Mm. But this... the red poppy thing, it's a tragedy. And it's not, nothing happened, but the insult to our dead is incredible.
Well, I'll add to that, Lee, because it's the insult to the dead of a country, namely the United Kingdom. Now, if it is you don't like that, bugger off. Because you shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but this is... I can't see that you... We're a land of freedom of speech, and if you think we actually kicked out one of their clerics, or we spent years trying to kick out their clerics from this country. There's ill feeling on both sides, Eric, and what it is, if you remember, this war goes back to the Crusades.
And I know that, Lee, but just take. Look, I'm the foreigner in Slovakia.
Yeah.
Now I do not have the right to come here and demand there's a Church of England church on the square in the middle of Poprad just because I'm English. I don't have that right.
I understand that, but then you can't take away the liberal attitude and the honest, straightforward attitude. You know, I don't very often defend Britain, but Britain has adopted this attitude towards people from other lands, that they come here and it becomes their home. Nobody can take that away from Britain to have actually said this and done this. And also, remember, Britain brought most of the immigrants in the 50s and 60s because we needed them. And now these people are actually British citizens. And these people, I don't know who it was, I don't know them personally, so I don't know actually what they were doing, but they were operating their right to riot. And if you think we're actually, compared to, like Mar was saying, in France, we are virgins at rioting compared to France.
Yeah, absolutely.
But these people who burnt this poppy, which actually, if you think, is nothing. It actually doesn't matter at all. But it was such an incredibly sick and powerful and obnoxious gesture that really this could cause incredible backlashes.
And the backlash would be on the innocents.
I have to say, it is this kind of thing that, you know, sort of, I think, hands victories to terrorist movements and so forth. And
yes.
I mean, you know, England, I think, has got hundreds of years of being sort of a pretty tolerant and multicultural society. Yeah. In other words, we've never really insisted on integration, just simply people who live alongside each other in peace. I think other countries can profit from that. And I think that if that's damaged by terrorist movements abroad, then I think it hands them a victory, and I think it's a great shame.
Yeah, indeed. Let's move on, boys. Let's move on. Go on, quickly. You can have your last word.
Just very simply, something we haven't mentioned, and I think it is worth mentioning. While we say we're trying to be fair to the people who did this, just remember that some of them were heard to be chanting during the two-minute silence, "British soldiers burn in hell."
No, they should be expelled. Just expel them. Be done with it. Just expel the damn people. Moving along, something that would never catch on here. A big story about a pub that is actually insisting that children do not go, especially if they're under 14, certainly not unattended. And some of the people that were interviewed were saying, well, we quite like this because we come here so we can have a beer and not be accidental with the words that we use when we're having a conversation, a bit like a rugby club, I suspect.
We are on the air.
Yeah.
Having just announced the B word, I bet I get bleeped before we're off the air.
Probably. And it just wouldn't happen in other parts of Europe. I mean, here, for example, kids can go. They I suppose the difference is here that kids tend to be a bit well-behaved and know their places a bit. But, you know, kids do go to places where there's a bar.
Well, yeah, but the simple fact is, why should they be allowed in our bars? We're not allowed in nurseries. We get arrested if we try and get in a nursery. They're underage, right? And you know the other thing? They've never got any money with them, and all they do is dribble and are unable to stand up.
Well, that's the same with people over 80, isn't it?
That's right, from cradle to the grave. Yeah, in the pubs. Us, not kids.
Yeah, well, I watched an interview about this morning on British television, and I saw that somebody said years ago that our pubs were male-dominated. Then they became male and female-dominated, and they became, if you like, sort of female-friendly.
Things started to go downhill then.
Well, I don't know. And, I mean, you say they go downhill. I think they simply just change. And I have to say that last time I brought my, because we live in France, I brought my young family over to UK last year, and I suppose I'd been out long enough that I'd forgotten, and I was quite surprised that my two children weren't allowed into the pub, and it actually, you know, affected our day out. And it wasn't even 7 o'clock in the evening, and I thought that was a tremendous shame.
you shouldn't be building your day out around the pub when you've got kids.
Well, when I said a day out, that was wrong, actually. We'd stepped out for, you know, a quiet drink at about 6 o'clock on a sunny evening, and I thought that we'd be able to go in and have a beer, and the kids would have a lemonade or a Coke, and we were just told, no, sorry. And I had a bit of a shock about it, and I thought it was a shame. And I can see why that's the way things go, but also I can see that it's changing. I'm sure it will change. This won't last.
Okay.
So it's a very simple analogy to that, though. Quite honestly, if you both remember, pubs in Britain used to have snugs. It's called the snug.
Yes.
And I've got the wrong one. It was the vault I'm talking about, actually. The vault. Like, dead people live in vaults. Well, that was where the men went, in the pub, wasn't it? In the vault. And women's liberation demanded that
we
not have our own male-dominated area within a pub, that they must be allowed into it. I was working on The Sun at the time, and you know what I did? I applied, when they were doing that, I applied to join the Women's Institute. We gave up the vaults, and they wouldn't let me in the Women's Institute. Answer that.
We've got no answers to that.
Which brings me beautifully onto a lovely piece in the British paper, the Daily Mail, and probably answers the question. Because according to the article, modern men have no idea how to carry out basic DIY jobs around the home, with millions unable to change a light bulb, according to a new study. And then the journalist carries on and says, laziness and hectic lifestyles have turned British men into a nation of DIY dunces. So here
have we got so many DIY shops?
I don't know.
Superstores.
Well, that's because the girls are doing it all now. That's half the problem.
Shut up, you girls! My tyre needs changing. Talking about male and female liberation, this is another thing that I have a bee in my bonnet about, right? We're saying that we can't do anything. I can go and change the oil in the car and the tyre. Andrea can't.
Right, so let's just do our own little...
I can cook. She can't.
Let's do our unscientific little survey of the three of us.
Go on, then.
Right, can you put in the kitchen?
Can I put in a kitchen?
So can I.
Yes.
What? Put a kitchen in? A fitted kitchen?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can fit a fitted
kitchen. I did it last year. I can do everything on that list.
I'm sorry. I am going to expose you both as fibbers.
No, absolutely not.
You're making it up. You can't put a kitchen in. You have to have a man in to do that.
What for?
What are you implying?
All right, let's try this one. Can you tile a bathroom? That's so simple.
Yes.
Get lost! You can both tile a bathroom as well.
You separate each tile with a matchstick.
Absolutely.
No, you don't. You use those little plastic crosses because it's religious and it makes it go on.
He's lying to us, you see. How about laying flooring?
You mean it looks like a First World War cemetery?
Yeah, it probably does. Yeah. Yeah, catastrophic.
Flooring, I've been laid on the floor.
Can you
I'm sure you have.
Yeah. How about wallpapering? I love doing wallpapering.
Not a chance.
That's so simple.
Not a chance. You're just showing off. You're just trying to embarrass me and show me up. Because you know I can't do any of these.
Well, I mean, thank God.
You're just pretending you can. I know you, Eric.
Well, the fact is, I mean, there is a different culture here in Slovakia, which tends to be slightly old for me, because I've only just started having, in the past few years, DIY-type shops here. As Lee will know, when he first came to Poprad, you didn't have those DIY shops. And if
that's the first thing I went looking for, Eric. I thought, we'll look for a DIY shop.
And if you wanted a tap, you had to go to a plumber's merchant's to buy one. And I'm sitting there horrified by the whole idea. And I said, well, where do you get your spare bits for taps from? Oh, you get a man in for that. What?
Hello? Yeah, of course you do.
Excuse me? And it's like this whole list, boys and girls, I'll run down it quickly. Things that men can't do. Following on, stop a leaking tap, that's easy. Replacing a door, that's only 6 screws, for goodness sake.
That is really difficult. You have to get a man in to do that because you have to make it hang right and it has to open and shut.
Fit a lock, well, a 2-year-old could do that. Replace a plug,
I can do that. So it takes me ages.
No.
I've only got a knife to do it with.
No. I think there's two things that go together for you there, Lee.
What?
Replacing a plug and tuning a pushbike bell, neither of which you qualify to do. Can you do electrics, Mark?
As I say, I mean, I've managed to do all of that stuff, and my own mechanics, change my engines, change my gearbox, strip out axles,
You're just lying.
Build computers, and the only thing that really makes me fed up is that although I do all of those things, including car repair and everything at home, yeah, I still get nagged for not doing the washing up.
That's what this is all about.
Not doing the bathroom and all the other kind of things, and I want to know where the job demarcation line is. I'd like to know where this green line is.
Yeah.
The Maginot line, because I live in France, and I have to say that it's nowhere near me.
Let's carry on the list. Here we go. Simple. Grouting. Hang on, Lee.
I've done many of those jobs, and I still don't wash up.
Right, hang on. Here we go. Grouting, easy. Rewire a plug, piece of cake.
No.
Bleed a radiator. Oh, that's too easy. Put up shelves?
No, I've just bought a Victorian bookcase, because I needed shelves, so I bought a Victorian bookcase.
Fit a curtain rail, unblock a sink. You only need your hand to
unblock a sink. I can unblock a sink. I have unblocked sinks. I have unblocked toilets. I have unblocked drains.
That's a result. Filling cracks or holes in a wall.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. Build flat back furniture. Now, that can be difficult. No. Change a fuse. Hang a picture up. Change a light bulb.
Yes.
And paint a wall.
Well, I can, but I'd rather get Andrea to do that.
14% couldn't paint a wall. How idiotic is that? Is that what the problem is?
What?
I think this is the whole crust of the whole bit that we've been going on about for the last 15 minutes. Yeah. The women, if we're not careful, guys, are going to take over the world.
They have taken over the world. We are
Who's
just
taking over the world? Season.
Girls.
Hey,
women. Girls.
Well, I tell you, my feeling is actually that the British are probably better at these DIY things than many other people in Europe. And I think one of the reasons is that we've got a culture of property ownership, and people tend to want to take care of their own property.
Yeah.
In other countries, and France, well, it's true. In other countries, and France,
we'll
for instance, in Paris, there's an enormous amount of people who are simply living in rented property.
Mm-hmm.
The landlords, you can tell, really just don't care, and nobody cares. And it's often you go to these properties, and they're really in bad condition, and nobody wants to invest the money.
Do you know what was
and
really...
So DIY, I don't think, is nearly as popular, and I don't think people are nearly as skilled at these kind of things as they are where you've got a property owning
company. Actually, I'm going to whinge at Tesco set now, because when I first came to Slovakia, I went into Tesco and I thought, Eureka! Marvellous! You could buy replacement heels and replacement soles for your shoes in the little packs. And now, because Slovakia has become a more modernised country, we don't have them anymore, so I have to take my shoes to the menders.
And you're 3 inches shorter.
Nah. I have to say, my late father was a qualified shoemaker, not a cobbler. Big difference. And I can, if I had the soles and heels, I could repair anybody's shoes. But today, no, it's all right. We'll just take him down to the little man in the thingy and give him €5.
And all he does is glue them. There's no skill in what they do. He might knock the odd nail in.
Heels, I would agree with, but with soles, I wouldn't agree with, because sometimes you have to put skivers in them as well.
What? Skivers?
Skivers.
Well, that's what we should do with everybody who's on the goal, then.
Yes. Skivers. Put them in their shoes. Get on your bike.
I know about this stuff. Anyway.
I rescind that skivers remark. Anyway,
I think, boys, you need to go to DIY training or the girls will dominate you and you'll end up with your pinny on, doing the ironing, doing the washing, doing the cooking, the washing up, clearing up sick after babies, and they'll be down the pub.
What
so
women
the message
will.
Is, if you want to be dominated by a woman, you just don't bother to do any of this.
That's right.
Andrew's like a dominatrix.
I love this story from Glasgow, up in Scotland. A man who robbed a takeaway driver of pizza, cash and his mobile phone was caught after his mother let the victim into their house to call the police. Charles McManus, who's 30 years old, admitted robbing Mohammed Zahr in Springburn in Glasgow in February of this year. And what happened was he said to this guy who was brandishing a knife at the time, to go down this road a little bit and turn one way. So the pizza driver thought, I'm not going to get caught out like that. So he goes the other way, knocks on the first available door and says, can I use the phone to call the police? It just happens to be the very same house that this guy lived in who's robbed him. So when the guy came back, he was on the phone to the operator when this McManus fella came into the house. And McManus ran off again when the pizza guy recognised him. But how stupid is that?
It's pretty damned stupid. Listen, gentlemen, may I just ask a favour of you?
Yes.
I'm boiling some eggs, and they're boiling over, I can hear them. I'm going to have to go and take them off in a minute. Anyway, carry on, and I'll just when Eric is rambling, I'll just slip off gently, and nobody will notice.
Well, let's also welcome the Queen to an official page on Facebook. So does that mean Facebook's by royal appointment now? I wonder.
Well, I have to say, Facebook's getting a lot of coverage with this kind of thing, aren't they? I mean, just really amazing. And are they by royal appointment?
Does that mean you by royal appointment?
No.
You just happen to be sanctioned by
No, it doesn't. To have the royal seal of approval is a completely different scenario. And it's not actually the Queen as such on Facebook. It's the British monarchy, which also, by the way, has a Twitter feed. It also has social networking picture sites, has all sorts of wonderful stuff, a YouTube channel, and basically the page will feature the court circular. I'm just wondering, guys, should we send them a note across and say, be friends with us?
Can you be a friend, or can you just like her?
We're only like.
Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to be a friend.
Like the Queen.
Yes. So should we go and like her then?
Yes, I'm going to like the Queen. Why are you laughing? There's nothing funny about that. I am going to press the like button on the Queen.
I just want to be very
appreciative of that.
Yeah, I just wondering if they take a blind bit of notice of us.
And Stephen Fry. I bet she replies. Stephen Fry's now a year. I've been waiting for Stephen Fry to reply to me.
And of course, Stephen was a guest on the programme a few weeks ago, unbeknown to Lee. And apparently, the Queen. apparently, the Queen.
He avoided me, didn't he?
I know, well, I'm not surprised. But the Queen reportedly sends and receives her own email as well. Bless.
What a clever Queen.
Well. Yeah. No, I think.
Oh, really? She's lovely.
Yeah.
I bet you she can unblock a sink.
Stop it, I can't
tell
do
you what, she's turned all that money down for this year, next year, hasn't she?
Well, that's true.
She'll be there with a plunger. Well, he's on.
In London last night, boys and girls, hundreds of people turned out for a non-event known as the world premiere of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. Money Machine, Part 2 coming soon. The penultimate instalment of the... Have you two guys read it? This book?
Not read it. But I've seen, you know, like Harry Potter looks like he should be about to get started drawing his pension now, doesn't he?
Do your kids do Harry Potter, Mark?
Do my kids, they don't read Harry Potter, but they've gone to see the film.
Is that because they can't read?
Because I think the books are a bit too old for their ability. That's all.
Yeah.
The films that I think they enjoy quite a lot actually, and they've seen good films.
Yeah,
they are good films.
Are they good films?
Well, Harry Potter. The bloke who plays Harry Potter's too old now. He's a child.
So, when we have your opinion of the books, guys, because A, I haven't read the books. B, I refuse to go to the films. And C, I have no interest.
The books are not brilliantly written. You can't say that these are works of genius, but they're works of fantasy genius. The actual literary merit of it might be a bit debatable. And the films are really well-made films.
Okay, I suppose.
That's about as much as you can say about them, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I've never read one of the books at all, and I don't suppose I will, actually. But, you know, I've got too many other things to read. But certainly, as you say, the films are great stories.
Yeah, and before I get trounced for this completely, boys and girls, I have read a book in the last 10 years. One book.
What type, Merrick? Yeah. How to Do It Yourself book?
No. It was the... somebody sent me the autobiography of... hang on, which one was it I read last? Was it Branson?
Oh.
Or...
So you got a book about pickles?
No. It was either
I was about virgins.
Actually, I will have to say, hey! I think...
I've got a question to ask you about that in a minute, Mark.
I think the last one...
I'm sure you've got lots of questions about that, Lee, but we will go through it slowly.
Slowly. No, the last one was Clarkson.
Don't pursue that remark.
The last book was Jeremy Clarkson.
That's a good book. I've read that. That's funny.
Yes, I'm looking...
The last book I read, yeah. You don't know what that was.
Go on.
Hey? The Abridged Letters of John Steinbeck.
Sorry?
The Abridged Letters of John Steinbeck.
Sounds like something you have a medical cure for.
John Steinbeck wrote Mice and Men.
Oh, is that...
Books. He's got big books, yeah. Yeah, he's one of the world's greatest authors. That's what I'm saying. If you go back to the Harry Potter
one. Actually, he wrote The Grapes of Wrath, didn't he, as well? That's Steinbeck.
He wrote The Grapes of Wrath.
Oh, God, they're off now. Dear. Oh, they're both off now. Love is connected.
Actually, Mark, I'll tell you what. If you get a chance, read Jack Kerouac's On the Road.
Oh, read that in 1960-something or other.
have you read any Ferengetti or Ginsberg?
No, I don't think I have.
Have a go at them. They're really good. William Burroughs, obviously, is probably one of the greatest
1950s
beat artists ever invented, given to literary. Sorry, Eric, are we leaving you out?
I'm going to sleep. as we get towards the end of the show, I reckon we could have got one of these in a pound shop in the UK. Apparently a vase in a house clearance in London has sold for £43 million, which is a record for any Chinese artwork, and it was found in Pinna. Originally, the auctioneers reckoned it was 1.2 million, and they found this. The family found it in a bungalow from their late uncle, which they inherited the bungalow and the goods inside. And they had no idea what they had. It was. I've seen a picture of this. If you drop it, it will break.
Yeah.
It won't bounce like modern stuff. Well, and I'm sure I've seen one in a pound shop somewhere. 43. What would possess anybody to spend £43 million on a vase? You can't even put flowers in with water.
Mark, have you ever read Norman Mailer?
I thought the vase looked rather nice, but I mean, 43 million quid. But what interested me was that it was actually bought by somebody on the Chinese mainland, as you say.
Yeah.
Who paid for that? I mean, was it a private purchase, or is it the government trying to bring it back in to
it's
like,
a, it's recover a private
some
buyer.
Of it? Yeah, it was a private buyer.
No, it is a private buyer.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, boys and girls.
Mean, then, the communist system in China is producing such incredibly rich private people.
Uh-huh.
Well, it always has, hasn't it? It always has done.
Right,
the problem.
Right, we're right at the end of part one, boys and girls, of Postcard from Pop Brad. We're going to say goodbye to Mark because Mark's off doing businessy stuff, aren't you?
Well, we finally got a meeting of the team of the Consumer Action Group website. We haven't, in fact, most of us haven't even met each other before. So this weekend we're going to spend time discussing consumer issues and getting a good team spirit together.
Indeed so. We'll be back in part two of Postcard from Pop Brad, boys and girls, with Lee and Eric as Mark goes off down the pub again.
Cheers, Mark.
Always cheerio. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.